Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Well, welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live from my office in Highlands North, in other words, my home, and looking forward to sharing some new and exciting Pesach recipes with you. Well, there's, I think about, what's it, about a week to go until Pesach, and I must say, things have changed, and I'll tell you what's been the biggest, the hardest and the most challenging thing for me is that never in the history of Pesach, from birth until today, I would say, has there ever been less than 30 people at our Seder table, with each and every person partaking some way in our somewhat dramatic but humorous Seder. And it's just so full of laughter and so such a beautiful, warm family vibe. And our Pesach, I mean, everybody always laugh at me and say to me, oh, Pesach, but I love Pesach. And this year, this is what's changed for me. This year, it's just Ian and I. Of course, I did offer to sing Manishtana, the four questions, to which my husband said, sure. I said, look, but I'll answer them. So he said, well, what's Manishtana? Why should this night be different from any other night? Every question you ask, you answer yourself. But it's a hard time as well, because I really feel for people who've spent hours, days and months on projects that couldn't come to fruition, because before we look around, I mean, this horrific virus had locked us down. Cancelling meetings, cancelling sporting events, which is a killer for my husband. You know him and his sport. Festivals. I mean, everything's been cancelled. And just from a personal experience, in fact, I was on a plane to Cape Town a few weeks ago, and not so long ago, actually, and while I was on the plane, they literally cancelled the event that I was going to attend, the Jewish Literary Festival. So I phoned them, say hi, what time will I be on? They said, oh, didn't you get the message? Literally, while I was on the plane, they sent a message to say they'd cancelled the festival. Howard Feldman was lucky because he wasn't there yet, so he didn't have to. He could just cancel it. But anyway, I came back the next day, started carrying on with my Pesach demo, which had to be cancelled. But that's nothing compared to all those that have had to make meat payments today, that have been retrenched, that aren't being paid and can't afford to stock up. And it's just a balagan, as I would say in Israel. But I hope you're all managing in these challenging times, and I hope that this Essen Fressen show will help to make an easier Pesach for all, because it's not going to be a panicky and oiskapatz kind of recipes. It's just basically going to be what we have in our cupboard, things that will last a long time. In other words, our potatoes, our onions, our, you know, not too many lettuce salads, because although I looked up on Facebook how to keep lettuce fresh, a lot of people don't use lettuce. But it's going to be, obviously it's going to be a lot cheaper, because we've got very small sidurim this year. And it's going to be, as I said, rather what we've got in the cupboard, in the freezer, to keep us going. And in this economic climate, we've got to try and look after our pennies. So after the break, I will come back to you with a couple of recipes to make Pesach easy, a little bit more simple, fast, and economical.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Thanks for joining me on the Essen Fressen show today. It's going to be all about Pesach, keeping it simple, keeping it manageable, and keeping it an economical exercise, so to speak. In fact, for me, this lockdown has come at quite a good time, and I'm sure for a lot of you it's come at quite a good time, cleaning out. And I emphasize out, because my daughter correctly said, "Mom, clean out. There's only two of you now in the house, and you don't need it all." And, you know, being one of those who gets rid of something and then 5 years later goes, "I had a whatever it is. Where is it?" And searching for it for another 5 years, it's difficult for me to throw out. But not having the family around for 3 weeks actually kills me emotionally and psychologically. But each day I take a cupboard and I clear out, and you will not believe how many paper doilies and spices from about three Pesachs ago that I have found. Anyway, thank God for FaceTime, House Party, Zoom, and some incredible, innovative and bright ideas coming out of this dark period that we find ourselves in. In fact, my sister-in-law sent me a set of exercise videos that I should have a look at. Well, I got through one, nearly passed out, and imagined on my tombstone saying, "Here lies Sharon, who passed away at the prime of her life from an exercise-induced heart attack during the corona pandemic." Chas v'sholem, but anyway, that's how I felt. So now I just do nice little pliés like a ballerina, holding onto my sideboard, which is more refined and less risky. And every time I go down the passage, and I walk down to the kitchen, I jog instead of walk. And that sort of, you know, lifts the spirit a little bit. I actually saw a lovely post, and it said on it, "I've moved my mezuzah from my front door to my fridge because it's the only door I still open." So that's kind of cute. Anyway, with all those posts you feel you have to see, because you may miss out on something very important, you still don't know what to believe and what to poo-poo and what's fake, what's reliable, what's accurate. And with my OTT behavior, all I know is that after washing down and cleaning, we still spray the surfaces afterwards. I use, my mother always used to tell me to use Milton's. It's the best. And say we clean the light switches and everything that we touch. And after hearing that we have to wear masks and gloves, and it's very important to do it. Some say don't wear gloves, some say don't wear masks. But anyway, yesterday I sent my husband out for something critical. Yes, it was very necessary. And most of the time I chain him to the bedroom with just enough rope to go to the kitchen and back. And he goes out fitted in this mask and gloves. Now, the mask looked like he could have robbed a bank with it on. His gloves weren't just ordinary gloves. They were surgeon gloves. They sort of came up to the elbow. Anyway, out he goes with his mask and comes back, and he says, "I am so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed by what you did." So I said, well, what's the problem? He said, "Sure, how could you do that to me?" As I climbed out of my car, thinking I was going to look like everybody else, because you told me everybody else has got masks and gloves on, the security guard shouted into his walkie-talkie that Corona, she's sending aliens to our land. Then he walked into the fruit shop. He said, "Even the apples, perched in perfect pyramid style, fell off their shelf," laughing at him. So he came back after very, very, very quickly. And, you know, that's what it's all about. We have to protect ourselves. And actually quite difficult with fresh fruit and vegetables, you know, during Pesach. So that's why I decided to give out recipes with that don't really need such fresh vegetables like lettuce or spinach or what. I mean, for first night, it's okay. Have your spinach because it will be fresh and your lettuce and that. That's okay. But afterwards, it becomes a bit difficult to keep all these vegetables fresh and whatever. So it's sort of eggs and potatoes and onions and pumpkin and lovely vegetable chips and tinned or bottled cucumbers, avocados, buy some sort of soft and some hard so that you can keep them for the following week so that they can ripen. The oil, vinegar, tuna, carrots, tinned mushrooms, etc. Basically things that are going to last. And the things that you go to the cupboard after you've finished Pesach and you go, ah, look what I've got left. So we need potato flour, lots of that. We need matzah meal. We need matzah. You know, things that are really are going to last. Cheese. Get some cheese. Put it in the freezer. It's fine. It'll last. So once I've done my soups, okay, which are normally chicken soup, and I do a vegetable soup because my husband doesn't eat chicken soup. And once I've done my chremslach, which actually my son-in-law said today, that's all you need to make for Pesach. Just make chremslach. Anyway, so what are chremslach? It's the same mixture that you would use for knedlach, but you'd put a little bit more matzah meal in. Then you fold it out and press it out into the palm of your hand. Stuff it with minced meat, a little bit of onion and carrots. The recipe is in my second book, Celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife. They are easy to make, and they're like little pies. And you can bake them in the oven, you can fry them. And I make my blintzes, and I make about 75 little blintzes. And because those fly out. I mean, all my children I know will take at least 10 to 15 of those. And then once I've done that, psychologically, somehow, my soup, my chremslach, and my blintzes are made. And I know that I've got matzah meal crumbed minute steaks in the freezer that I can take out. I freeze them individually on a tray, and I take them out as we need them, as the kids get hungry, or whoever is here gets hungry, or my husband's hungry. As long as I've got my crumbed minute steaks, my chicken schnitzel, some mince so that we can have cottage pie, of course, and two roasts in the freezer, then I feel better about myself. We need a roast for Friday night, but because it's only two of us, I've got a tiny little roast, and I'll share that for first night, and then so I don't repeat it again, because, you know, they hate leftovers, my family, got a thing about it. I'll cook it again on Friday night. I'll put another kind of sauce on so you won't know the difference. But have some chicken and some things like that in the freezer. Share things. I mean, go out. If you have to go out, phone up your friend, your sister-in-law. What we've done is we've made a list of what we need. They will come to my house. I'll get all the fruit and vegetables. I'll say, right, come immediately, leave the box outside the house, and they will take their fruit and vegetables. So that's a good idea for this period of isolation. Now, a salad. I know because you're tired of hearing my voice. So now let me give you a recipe. Now, this is called baby onion side for supper and a salad for lunch. So you're using the same thing, and baby onions, I mean, you can store baby onions for how long? I would say you can store them, probably up to about 3 weeks. So, you know, you can get those sooner rather than later. So you would need 1 kilo of baby onions. I don't know what it is. I can never buy enough onions, potatoes, oil, and eggs. Pesach is just weird. And sugar, sorry. Anyway, so it's 1 kilo of baby onions, 1 tablespoon of oil, 3 tablespoons of oil, 2 tablespoons of sugar, or if you use honey, then you can use honey, and half a bottle of good red wine. Now, I hope you got your wine, everybody, because if you didn't, unfortunately, we can't get it now during the lockdown period. But you can use grape juice, but then I would cut out the sugar. I wouldn't put the sugar and the honey in because grape juice is quite sweet as it is. Salt and pepper. And you just fry that up. This was one of my mother's favorite dishes and was so simple. You just fry it up and you schochel it as you're frying it. And the onions will turn a lovely sort of golden brown. And the red wine or the grape juice will make it really lovely and syrupy. So that's what you have for supper with your roast. Now, make a kilo because the next day, what you're going to do is with the leftover onions, if you have some fresh cos or rocket or butter lettuce or whatever, or cabbage. I mean, cabbage lasts a long time, so you can shred some cabbage up. Take the leftover onions, 2 avocado pears, 4 boiled eggs cut into quarters, and a handful of parsley or microgreens or, you know, a little bit of something on the top. And what you do is, to start off with the onions, you pour boiling water over the onions because this really helps to remove the skins. And you fry the onions in oil lightly for a minute or two, stirring as you do on high. And then you add the wine and the sugar and you mix it well. Remember, if you're going to use grape juice, don't use the sugar or the honey. And you boil it, then you reduce the heat immediately to simmer for about 15 minutes until the onions are caramelized and the wine has cooked out and is reduced to that lovely syrupy effect. And then you set it aside and you can reheat it when you need it that night. Or keep half of it the next day or whatever left over. And this is what you do. You put it on a platter with some lettuce or whatever you want to put on or some lovely red cabbage. And you add the cooled onions. Remember, they've got a lovely taste of their own. Oh, don't forget, when you're cooking the onions, to add salt and pepper. Taste it as you go along. Very important to taste. Add the cooled onions, the avocado pear, and the eggs, and then you sprinkle it with some flat leaf parsley or some microgreens. And then the dressing is simple. It's just a third of a cup of oil, 2 tablespoons of honey, and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. And you just sort of throw it over. Well, you can't really mix it all together because you'll smash the avocado pear up and the eggs. You can, while I'm talking, said tomato, you can add baby tomatoes to it if you want a little bit of color. But that's simple enough to make. So as I said, that is the onion tonight. Baby onion side for supper and the salad for lunch. Another easy thing that I always make, if I don't make a carrot kugel, I make this. It's a kilo of baby carrots, or carrots peeled and sliced into 1 centimeter pieces. Carrots last a long time, so at least we can have that over 8 days. Or you slice up the carrots. You need 2 cups of boiling water, 1/4 cup of oil, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt. And what you do is you place all the carrots, the sliced carrots, into a medium-sized saucepan, because you don't want the water to evaporate too quickly if you put it into a large pot, because then it will evaporate and then your carrots won't cook nicely. So you need a smallish kind of saucepan, rather make the carrots sort of higher than flatten them out. And you cover with a loosely fitting lid and you cook until most of the water has evaporated and you hear the oil starting to crackle and fry the carrots. So you'll know that all the water's evaporated and the crackling, the oil is crackling. And then you'll know that the water has evaporated and it's ready to use. And then When we come back after the break, I'll share some more recipes with you.
Chalashim for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you're enjoying the show while we sit in lockdown, getting ready for Pesach. One recipe that I found that I have to share was a recipe that I found behind a shopping list of my mother-in-law, okay? And she often used to make it, and we really loved it. So I thought, let me share this with you. It is 6 to 8 baby marrows. It's a vegetable, a side dish for your meat. It's easy to make. You can leave it in the warmer until everything's ready. So it's 6 to 8 baby marrows chunked into 2 centimeter slices. 8 yellow patty pans sliced. 250 grams of mushroom sliced. 2 onions chunked, so I cut them into quarters and then I halved them. And 1 red pepper finely chopped. That's optional. But it adds a lovely flavor and color. So it really makes it look lovely and appetizing. So once all the vegetables have been cut up, put it into a cooking bag. And then you combine the following. Whisk the following together and pour it over the vegetables. 1/4 cup of balsamic vinegar, 1/3 cup of oil, 2 teaspoons of sugar or sweetener, whatever you want to use, a little crushed garlic, which is optional, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of the coarsely ground pepper, 3 tablespoons of onion soup mix and 2 teaspoons of potato flour. And you just put that, mix it all together so that the potato flour dissolves in the mixture and the onion soup mix dissolves in the mixture. And then you put the vegetables in the bag, pour the sauce over the vegetables, and you allow it to marinate overnight. Preheat your oven to 190 the next day or when you're ready to cook it. And you place the vegetables, yes, still in the roasting bag, into a roasting dish. And you bake it for 45 minutes on about 190. You can actually turn it very carefully, take an oven glove, and you can turn the bag over halfway to, you know, while it's cooking. But it really is a lovely side dish for you to have. Now, I'm sure you're waiting for a meat recipe. Of course, I'm going to give it to you. This is a lovely, low, long and slow meat dish. Okay. And I've called it a cup of coffee with your beef, honey. Okay. And you'll see why I've called it that. Because you'll need 2.5 kilos raisin rib or brisket. Or a top rib, 1 cup of black coffee, and make that up with, you can make it up with instant coffee if you want, 1/2 cup of honey, 1 teaspoon of garlic, crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon of grated chayin, horseradish, 2 tablespoons, 2, maybe even 3 tablespoons of onion soup mix, and 1/2 cup of tomato paste. You know, you can get those little square boxes of the tomato paste at the moment. I saw those in the shops. Probably use about 1/2 of that. If you feel it's not enough, then just add a little bit more. Salt and pepper. And you preheat the oven to about 160, 170. And you brown the meat on all sides. In a big pan, just brown the meat before you even pour the ingredients over it. And then you put it into a roasting dish. You can put it into a chilling dish if you want, to a crock pot. Okay, once you've browned it, because remember, you've got to brown the meat before you put it into your crock pot. gives it, it caramelizes and gives it a lovely taste. And then you combine the rest of the ingredients and you pour it over the meat. And you roast it covered for about 2 to 3 hours. And then you reduce the heat. And I'd say 2.5 hours, yes. Then you reduce the heat to 150 and you continue roasting for a further 2 hours. Basting, of course, every now and then. And it's as simple as that. So now do you see? It's the coffee and the honey. A cup of coffee with your beef, honey. And it's low and slow cooking. And that for me is the best and the easiest, because you can't start making roasts and scotch fillets and all this kind of thing on Pesach, because you don't know what time you're going to eat. Mind you, if there are two of you, you do. But anyway, if it's just one of you, then cut your roast up smaller. In fact, you can cut that 2.5 thing up into 3. Although if you're cooking for the whole family and you're going to distribute it, then you'll need more, of course. Now, I have a lovely Moroccan potato salad. And this is quite simple to make. It sounds like it's a bit patsketic, but it's really not, and it's worth it. You need 3 large potatoes. But when I say large, I mean large, like about, I'm not going to talk in inches because then you'll know how old I am, about 10, 12 centimeters large, and 2 eggplants, finely chopped with the skin and fried until golden brown and soft. Then you'll need 2 bell peppers, 1 red, 1 green, finely chopped, 1 red onion, finely chopped, and 3/4 to 1 cup of pitted olives. And obviously this is optional. If you don't like olives, then you don't have to put them in, but it does give it a lovely sort of Mediterranean, Moroccan kind of feel to it. Okay, then the dressing. So let me give you the dressing ingredients, and then I'll tell you how to actually the method and how to prepare the whole thing. You need 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic. You need a small, the tomato paste, either the tinned ones, or you can use a small little square one, 1/2 cup of red wine or brown vinegar. So it's either red wine vinegar or brown vinegar. 1 cup of oil, 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 teaspoon of salt. Now it may need more. And by the way, I didn't put, once I chopped my eggplants up, I didn't put salt on. Some people takes out the bitterness or whatever. I didn't. Anyway, 2 to 3 tablespoons of mint, finely chopped, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of coriander, or if you're listening from overseas, cilantro, finely chopped as well. Then what I do is I boil the potatoes in their jackets until they're soft, and you can check it with a toothpick, and then I immediately immerse it into cold water, and whilst the potatoes are boiling, I chop the eggplant into small cubes, about 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter, and fry them in a little oil until golden brown and soft, and I set them aside. So they'll get cool. Now, what I do with the potatoes, take those out as well, let them cool down, or run them under cold water, or if you've immersed them already in cold water, that's fine. Cube the potatoes a little bigger, just a little bigger than you cube the eggplants that you set aside after you fried them. And then I combine the chopped onion, the peppers, and the olives lightly with the chopped potato and the eggplant. I sort of mix it lightly together and whisked all the salad dressing ingredients together. And poured it over the vegetables and the potato and the eggplant and onion, whatever. And I just lightly stirred it and combined it with the salad dressing. And then I decorated it with chopped fresh coriander parsley. Now, I must say that you can, if you want to, add a little bit of mayonnaise to it. That's fine. And you've all got the recipe for homemade mayonnaise, I'm sure. So I'm not going to go through that. But you know that it's just eggs and oil. Salt and pepper, and whatever you want to add to it afterwards. Now, I've also done a Russian radish salad, which I'm going to share with you. But I just want to tell you something that I do every Pesach before I like really start getting everything ready. I make up a peri-peri sauce, just blending together some peri-peri, some chilies, crushed some onion grated, some oil, a little bit of lemon juice, salt and pepper, and I always have that to add to a salad dressing, to add to meat that I'm cooking. And another thing that I always make, but I make it closer to Pesach because I want the herbs to be fresh and lovely and tasty and green. I don't want them all just schlepped and all looking all soft and whatever. So what I do is I take all the herbs that I can find, because while I'm checking herbs, let me check them all together. So I buy fresh mint, I buy coriander, I buy fresh oregano, I buy fresh parsley, quite a lot of parsley. Stick it into, wash it well, check it. You all know how to do it. If you don't know how to check your fruit and vegetables, go onto the UOS website and they tell you exactly how to check everything. It's not as hard as it sounds, especially if we're going to blend it all together. And I blend that with a cup of oil and half a cup of lemon juice, because the lemon juice actually helps retain the color. I'll think about it just now. See, this is what happens when you talk ad hoc. And then what I do is blend it all together, as I say, with the one cup of oil, half a cup of lemon juice, salt and pepper. You can add garlic to it. You can add some paprika to it. But at least you know that you've got your, here's what I was thinking of, your herbal aromatherapy oil ready for just about anything. You can put it on roasts. You can put it on chicken. You can put it on into your salad. So when I say to you, into a salad dressing or into a salad, add a little bit of mint and a little bit of oregano and a little bit of parsley, just take a tablespoon of that and add it in. Beautiful. So there you've got it all ready made for you. Okay, so there's a couple of little tips for you. And you know what I also love doing with it is I take it and I smear it onto matzah. And then I bake it in the oven and it goes beautiful and crisp. And then I use that. I use it and I dip it into homemade avocado guacamole, or I dip it into eggplant, you know, the eggplant mayo that you can make, which is very easy to make. All you do is stick the eggplant into the oven, hole, prick it a few places, and just let it roast. So it gets a lovely smoky flavor. And you just let it roast for about 30 minutes on 180. Let it cool, put it into a plastic bag if you want to, peel it, and blend it with some garlic and lemon juice and mayonnaise. And there you have a lovely dip, you have a lovely salad. I know that a lot of my Israeli friends, that's their favorite. And there you have it. And then you take the matzah that you've smeared with this beautiful aromatherapy herbal oil. And there you have some dipping chips, so to speak.
Chalashim for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Okay, so now we are going back to the Russian radish salad, because radishes also last quite a long time. So I took 12 red radishes, chopped them, 8 Israeli cucumbers, chopped those, 1 red onion, chopped that. You can double up if you want to, but I know most of us are going to be spending, our sodas are going to be very small. And for the dressing, you need about 3 to 4 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon of grated horseradish, a heaped teaspoon, because I like it quite hottish, 1 teaspoon salt, a tablespoon of sugar or honey or the sweetener that you want to use, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, or vinegar. And then you mix the cucumbers with the radishes and onion. And I usually try to do half radish, half cucumber. But you can change the proportions. If you prefer radishes, then have less radishes. But you can't really taste the radishes that much once you put the dressing on. You know, so people don't really, often have people have said, what's with the cucumbers here? So there you have it. Okay, and then you add your, as I said, you add your mayonnaise, your cayenne, your salt, your lemon juice, and you mix it well, and let it marinate for about 30 minutes. It may be a little liquidy, you know, because the radishes and the cucumber give off some liquid, but strain it off or just leave it in that lovely marinade. Now, I'm at home, so I don't know when to stop. I don't know when we are having breaks. Maybe this is a good opportunity to have a little break while I'm talking to the sound engineers. But we're going to now talk about Eden's favorite cabbage salad. Now, if I don't make this for Pesach, Pesach is not Pesach, so everybody tells me. In fact, I had my nieces phoning me to ask me, Shah, from all over, and my daughter-in-law, please give me the cabbage salad recipe. So, it is as follows. 250 grams shredded red cabbage. 250 grams shredded white cabbage. Now, if you want to, you can get it already from Fresh Fellers, already shredded, which makes things a lot easier. You can get everything there. You can get the nuts. You can get, in fact, everything, every recipe I think I've given you. You can get all the fruit and vegetables from them. So, I think they come in, I'm not quite sure they come in 400 grams, but then you would just make a little bit more salad dressing. Okay, you would need 250 grams. Now, just sorry to interrupt myself. Salad dressing you can never ever have enough of. So you start off by putting, especially on cabbage, because it really absorbs the salad dressing so nicely. So you start off first by adding a little bit of salad dressing, and you see how it goes. So you need, as I said, the cabbage. If you just want to use white cabbage, that's fine. Then just use 500 grams of white cabbage. 100 grams of dry fried or roasted almonds. Now the secret to this recipe is that you want your almonds to be crispy, crispy, crispy. And you want the pine nuts also to be roasted or dry fried. Dry fried means that you fry it in a fat-free frying pan or ordinary frying pan until it starts to go slightly golden. And that smell of the beautiful nuts as they're cooking. Divine. Okay, so we place the cabbage into the bowl, and just before serving, we're going to drizzle it with the salad dressing. We're going to toss it all up. We're going to see, you know, if it needs any more salad dressing, and finally sprinkle with the toasted nuts, the pine nuts, and some spring onions, which is optional, but is lovely. Now, the secret is in the salad dressing. As I said to you before, don't worry. You won't need all the dressing for the salad. You may, however. But it's always best to have too much than too little, right? If you're like me, you know exactly what I'm saying. So you need half a cup of olive oil. Now, and half a cup of canola oil for those who are just using one kind of oil. Then use one cup of the oil that you were using. One cup sugar. Yes, it sounds a lot, but it's worth it. Makes the salad dressing sort of thickish. How can I explain? But it's worth it. Listen, if you want to, put in 3/4 cup, but to start with, but also you probably need more. Then you need half a cup of white wine vinegar. Now, white wine vinegar is really great, but if you haven't got white wine vinegar, use regular white vinegar. Then 2 tablespoons. If you have it, of imitation soy sauce, the Pacifica one, or you can use a beef cube dissolved in half a cup of hot water, boiling water, dissolve it and set it aside to cool. It must be cool before you put it in salad dressing. And then you'll also need a vegetable cube, dissolved in half a cup of boiling water as well, set aside to cool. Okay, so that's where you're going to get your salt for this lovely salad dressing. You may need to, as I say, if you want to, you can put sweetener in, but start off first with 3/4 cup of sugar and then add a little bit more. Now, always taste yourself. You may find that you want more vinegar in it, put more vinegar in it. You may find that you prefer to put lemon juice instead of vinegar. I know some people don't use vinegar. Put lemon juice in, that's fine. Instead of the beef cubes, you'd have to probably, and the a vegetable cube, then you'd probably have to use a little bit more salt and pepper. Okay, so you place all the dressing ingredients in a jar. You shake it vigorously until it's well combined. And then just before you're about to pour it over the salad, shake it again. Check it, put a teaspoon in, and check for salt and pepper and taste, and add it to the cabbage salad. But remember that you're going to have a nuttier taste to the salad as well. So don't worry too much about the salad dressing, although it is very delicious salad dressing. So now, I'm running out of time. If you can hear scratching, it's my little doggies trying to get into the room because they want to come and play with me. It's not little mice in the ceiling if you can hear the scratching. It's my doggies. Okay, so we're going on to nice lemon and herb chicken, tomorrow's Greek salad. Okay, so we're going to get 2 fresh chicken braai packs from our favorite butchery, and 1 kilo of small baby potatoes, washed well, but you leave the skin on. Okay, so we are going, the marinade is as follows. 1 packet, you can get those little packets, you'll see them at the fruit and vegetable shop. 1 packet of rosemary, and you remove the needles from the stalks. Okay, so it's about 35 grams, I think, or 25 grams in a packet. You know, they go down all the time, the weights. 1 packet of parsley, about 35 grams. 1 packet of oregano. You can keep a few leaves aside for decorating. 6 cloves of garlic. 1/2 cup of oil. 1/2 cup of lemon juice. 1 tablespoon of lemon zest. And a teaspoon of sugar or the equivalent sweetener. Now, if you remember earlier in the show, I said to you, I make up this aromatherapy herbal oil. And what you can do for this is to use that. So you, instead of getting more parsley, more oregano and more garlic and more oil, and lemon juice, just put a bit of that on top. And it's as easy as that. You'll also need a little bit of salt and pepper. And a teaspoon of paprika. So place all of the above marinating ingredients into a food processor or blend with your hand blender in a jug until smooth. Wash and dry the chicken well and dry it with paper towel. Dry it because that's what makes it nice and crispy. In fact, some people leave it uncovered in the fridge or with tin foil lightly placed on top of the chicken to really let it dry out. You can actually put it on top of those, not beer cans because it's Pesach now, but you can put it on top of forgotten what they're called, you know, where they stand up in the oven. So you can put those, you can put them in the fridge just to get dry, and then you cover them with herb mixture. Because this is braai pack. So stick it in your fridge, turn it over halfway through and make sure that you dry it really well. And then you cover it the next day with the herb mixture. Ensure that every single piece is well coated. Skin side down. So, sorry, I made a little mistake here. I don't know how to edit today. So we're just going to, you wash and dry the chicken well and you place it into the roasting pan into your fridge and you cover it and let it cook overnight. Sorry, skin side down and place into the refrigerator. And you let it marinate overnight. When you're ready to roast it, preheat your oven to 190 degrees. Okay, so you take it out of the fridge, and now it's nicely marinated in that aromatherapy oil. And you place baby potatoes. Remember that we haven't peeled them. Place baby potatoes around the chicken, ensuring they're also well coated by the herbs. So you sort of just mix it around. And you roast it covered for 45 minutes in a preheated oven. And then you reduce the heat to 180. Turn the chicken over. Just sort of push the potatoes a little bit around the side. And you roast for a further 45 minutes or until the juices run clear. And the chicken is lovely and brown and cooked all the way through. And you serve that with the baby onions that I told you about before and baby carrots. And it's a delicious meal. So, and then what you do is, if you have any left over, which I'm sure you will, this is, remember, small Seder this year, what you do is a head of cos lettuce or whatever lettuce you want to use, or cabbage, and you take the leftover chicken and you remove it from the bone and you cut it into bite-sized pieces and you shred it. Then you'll need a red pepper, just sort of roughly chopped, a green pepper roughly chopped, yellow pepper roughly chopped, a red onion nicely roughly chopped, and a couple of baby tomatoes, a handful of olives, and then you can use just a small handful of oregano or some fresh mint leaves, maybe because some fresh mint leaves in the garden that you can sprinkle over the salad. And the dressing is quite easy. It's just a third of a cup of red wine vinegar. If you haven't got red wine vinegar, use brown vinegar. Two cloves of garlic. Half a teaspoon of salt and half a teaspoon of coarsely ground black pepper. Two thirds of a cup of olive oil. And you whisk the ingredients together or stick it in a jar, like I said before, and shake it up. And then when you're ready to serve it, you just pour the salad dressing over it. And you can decorate it with some nice fresh herbs if you want to. And that's your tomorrow's Greek chicken salad. So I hope you have enjoyed all these recipes. I was hoping to give you an idea about lettuce and how to keep it. Oh, I think I'm running out of time. The lettuce, how I wanted you to keep it was to put it not to wash it until you really need it. And then when you wash it, you can put it flat into a large Ziploc bag, but with air pricked in, because it actually needs a little bit of air in the Ziploc bag, or you can put it into a Tupperware or something like that. But put paper towel in between, and that should really keep it going for quite some time. Don't put it near your avocado pears or your tomatoes or apples and things like that, because they release gases as they ripen and they cause other produce to age prematurely. So your lettuce may age prematurely. Your cabbage you can always keep, you don't have to keep it in the fridge. You can keep it out. And then to crisp it up, another tip, this is something that my mother always did. She soaked her cut lettuce in iced water for a few minutes. And then she just put it, you know, spun it dry. Or you can just put it onto paper towel if you don't have a Pacetica spinner. And, you know, if it looks a little, doesn't look so great, don't use it, please. If it looks a little slimy, just leave it. But there's all sorts of things. I mean, I remember Tupperware had those beautiful green things. We had that. See, this is why I say hoarding is important, because now I'm looking for this thing where it had like a spoke running through the plastic bowl, and then you'd put your head of lettuce on there and it would last for ages. So I don't know if I'm going to throw out too much too quickly, Eden. Anyway, as for puddings, as for desserts, well, fresh fruit. Go out and buy some of that lovely Dolce something, I can't remember what it's called. I saw it being emptied at some of the supermarkets. I always say that you need to have something that just shouts, I can't believe this is Pesedek. But I don't know if this is really the climate to do it. If you go, you know, make some meringues for, you know, for the family and make some, what else can you make? Ginger cake if you want to and serve that with some ice cream. Quite easy and simple. There's also another recipe. You see, I don't know if I've got time here. You know what? I'm just going to give it to you and they can cut it off if I have gone over my time. And this is a pineapple and sweet chili brisket. It's absolutely delicious for those that eat pickled brisket and pickled or pickled hemp or pickled meat over Pesach. This is for you. You need about 2 to 3 kilos of pickled. I prefer pickled hemp. You can use brisket if you want to. It's not a problem. And you'll need one pineapple, finely grated, or a tin of the ready grated and drained pineapple. 1 cup of sweet chili sauce. I see that you can get sweet chili sauce already made. 3 tablespoons of onion or 1 grated onion mixed with 1 tablespoon of potato flour. So you'll need 3 tablespoons of onion powder. Sorry, I meant to say onion powder. Or you can just grate an onion mixed with 1 to 2 tablespoons of potato flour. And you wash the pickled onion or the brisket very, very well because you don't want it to have that that taste, you know, that salty taste from the brine. And then you place it into a large enough pot and cover, my dogs are getting impatient, so don't bark at me now. Place into a large enough pot and cover with 2 carrots and bay leaves. Bring it to the boil, reduce the heat and allow it to simmer for 1 hour. And then you preheat your oven while it's simmering. And also in the meantime, while it's cooking for 1 hour, you combine the pineapple, sweet chili sauce and onion powder in a bowl. You remove the meat from the water. You set it aside in a roasting dish. One of those aluminium foil ones are great, the deep ones. Not too large because you don't want the sauce to evaporate too quickly. And you pour the pineapple mixture over the meat, cover it and roast for about 1.5 to 2. Now you can put it into a chillin' pot and you can let it go low and slow. You can let it go low and slow if you want to. And you carefully remove the meat from the oven. What you'd also do, you pour the pineapple mixture over the meat, cook it for 1.5 hours. You remove it, the meat from the oven, and remove the covering because you've got to cook it covered for 1.5 hours first. Remove the covering, baste it, and continue to cook for 1 hour. Reduce the heat down to about 160. And then if the liquid looks too watery, you know, some ovens are different to others. Some meat is bigger, some is smaller. Remove the cover to thicken up the gravy. If you think that it's already too thick, then just put the cover back on. But one thing you've got to do, ensure that when you put the fork in or you put a baking needle or something like that into the meat, that it is cooked through completely. Well, I hope I've given you some great ideas and remember that we are not in hibernation for the rest of our lives. And I just wish you the most wonderful, wonderful Pesach and know that everybody is going through what you're going through. We haven't got all those people that are going to be reading for us and singing songs and dividing the table into half and outdoing the other one and just all that magical, wonderful stuff. But at least we can have Pesach and say, thank God, we are free. On that note, I wish you Chag Sameach, and it's the eaten meat that makes the show complete.